Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Randy Sweet, my colleague at MRM. We have spent the last several broadcasts looking at a very important part of Mormon history, and that is the handcart expeditions, you might say. The handcart expeditions primarily discussing the Willie and Martin handcart expeditions, because it was very controversial in the fact that they started out very late in the season. And also, there were rebukes against one of the people involved, a man by the name of Levi Savage, who had his doubts about starting out that late, who was rebuked by James Willie, who was the captain of that particular company. And then later on, Savage is rebuked by Franklin Richards, who was an apostle in the Mormon Church. Now, let's give you a little bit of an idea here. These handcarts are pulled by human power. They are not pulled by horses or oxen or anything like that. Humans have to pull them or push them from behind. And they are meant to carry a very limited amount of belongings. Each adult was allowed 17 pounds of personal belongings. Children were allowed 10 pounds. They were given rations from wagons that traveled with the handcarts. There were about 5 wagons per company. And they carried the food and stuff. But the people also had to carry their cooking utensils and things like that. This handcart expedition, you could say, is highly commemorated in Mormon circles. If you were to go down to Temple Square, you would find that there's actually a huge statue there commemorating the handcart pioneers. And it's very much of the positive Mormon history, because many Mormons look at the handcart companies coming across the plains as a symbol of devotion and dedication to the Mormon faith. The Willie and Martin handcart companies met with this disaster, primarily in the state of Wyoming. They get caught in a snowstorm because they've left too late. They should have been in Wyoming by July, and they didn't leave until July. And so there's going to be this big rescue. And it's quite a dramatic rescue. There's no doubt about that. They portray it quite dramatically in the film that came out a while back called 17 Miracles. But there's some blame here. Who is actually at fault? If these people are being led by men of God, why did such a terrible thing happen when you have, in the case of Franklin Richards, a Mormon apostle, urging them to go on? What have some of the historians had to say about this, Randy?
Well, one way to look at it, Bill, I think that we would look at somebody running a business or an army today. It's like the buck stops at the top. Mm-hmm. And what we see with Brigham Young is he came up with the divine plan in the first place. He came up with some of the logistics of it, the rations, the whole, you know, basically getting them out there. It's ironic that John Taylor was kind of heading up a lot of the expeditions when they started out in the East.
Now, John Taylor would later become the third prophet of the Mormon Church.
There's quite a bit of evidence that John Taylor had sent Brigham Young several letters, basically telling him that, you know, this isn't going good. We're going to have issues here. By the time it's all said and done, John Taylor gets blamed by Brigham Young for not keeping these people where they should have been. And, you know, these other people basically end up becoming scapegoats. Mm. The Franklin Richards, I mean, he was just severely shunned by Brigham Young once he got back out here. Franklin Richards is the gentleman that arrived with this elite company of missionaries on October 4th of 1856 and told Brigham Young that there was still other companies, you know, out there. Mm-hmm. And it basically had set off this whole rescue that mm-hmm. we just talked about.
That search party was put together in a relatively short time. I mean, about 2 days,
He tells them on October 4th of 1856, on October 5th, was actually fall general conference. Mm-hmm. Brigham puts the word out, we need to go rescue the brethren. On October 6th, they set out. an elite group at first, and then eventually, when it was all said and done, I think it was well over a couple hundred people went out east. And they keep in mind, they had to travel 300 miles to get to the people that were stranded at Six Crossing and at Martin's Cove. I mean, it was quite an ordeal. They were equipped, but they weren't equipped, I believe, and David Roberts brings it out, they weren't equipped, I don't think, emotionally to see what they were going to come across when they ran into these people, because most people would, reading the history, that don't know the history, I should say, our Latter-day Saint friends out there, most people don't know that most of the people died. There was more people that died once the rescue took place than prior to the rescue, because these people were in such bad shape physically.
A lot of amputations, probably from frostbite, things like that.
Yeah, people just didn't make it. There was some, at some points, even from the rescue, that upwards of 18 people were buried at a time in open graves.
Now, you mentioned David Roberts, this author. He wrote Devil's Gate, and he puts in there some commentary as to who do we point the fingers at? Because it's like with any tragedy, you want to know, well, what caused the tragedy? Who was behind the tragedy, if any one person? And how can it be prevented next time? What does he say in his book?
Well, near the end of the book, the last few pages, he talks about it throughout the book, that basically, you know, Brigham knew what was going on. These leaders, I believe we've alluded to it, you know, when you're below somebody in the Mormon hierarchy, you basically salute and do what you're told in that sense.
When you say Brigham knew about it, are you alluding that maybe he knew before October that this group was out? Okay, now, because a lot of the history books give the impression he doesn't even seem to know they're out there until Richards tells him on October 4th.
See, I have a hard time personally believing that, especially if our listeners read Devil's Gate. I mean, like I said earlier, John Taylor had sent him several correspondences that said what was going on. You know, when you're in charge, you know, he kind of micromanaged the whole thing, and to say that all of a sudden he had no idea what was going on, little bit fishy there.
Yeah, there's a lot of things, as with a lot of aspects of history, there's going to be different views and different numbers and things like that. But go ahead and talk about what Roberts writes in his book, Devil's Gate.
He kind of sums it up near the end, Bill. I'll just start off. This is on page 332 of the book. It says, a consistent theme throughout the 30 years of Young's tenure as a prophet is what we would regard today as the undervaluing of human life. Apostates who wanted to flee Zion were better off dead. To be sure, Young sincerely believed that it was preferable for a saint to die on the handcart trail than to languish in Babylon. This next paragraph is key. It says, like all despots, Young found himself virtually incapable of admitting that he was wrong or had committed a mistake. He never acknowledged the handcart disaster for the tragedy it was. Yet in his blithe pronouncements that the handcart scheme was not only fundamentally sound, but that it already proved by the end of 1856 to be the best way of gathering the poor to Zion, there may be something more than the spin of a master propagandist. A modern psychologist might call it denial. A good Mormon would call it faith. And then he goes on, the very next paragraph, he says, the baldest expression of that bedrock conviction came in the 14th General Epistle, Young's State of the Union Address, disseminated to all of Zion on December 10th, 1856. And our listeners should keep in mind that by that point in time, both the Willie and the Martin Handcart companies had already been rescued. They'd already been here in Salt Lake. And this is what Brigham Young said. This season's operations have demonstrated that the saints, being filled with faith and the Holy Ghost, can walk across the plains, drawing their provisions and clothing on handcarts. The experience of this season will, of course, help us to improve in future operations, but the plan has been fairly tested and proved entirely successful.
Tell that to the people who get to Salt Lake, who are just emaciated and are probably going to have health problems for the rest of their lives from what they have gone through. I don't think it would have been all that convincing to them that it was such a great success.
No, and the ironic part, Bill, is that because you don't speak out against your leaders, no one really spoke out about this whole thing until after Brigham Young died in 1877. And then people started coming out, because you have to keep in mind, we talked about this on a previous show, these people got charged interest on all the money that was put up fronted for them to come out here. They were still paying all the way. Some of them never, they died still owing the debt.
Wow.
Their debt was never paid off.
And didn't Young charge them interest?
Yeah, he charged them 10% interest. And ironically, the Martin Company had to leave a lot of their, once they got rescued, they had to leave a lot of their baggage and belongings and stuff at Fort Seminole, which is just by Devil's Gate. And 20 of the rescuers actually ended up staying for the whole winter season. And they nearly starved to death protecting all these provisions. Young actually charged, went back later in the spring, got the stuff that was left, and he charged the immigrants freight.
Now, probably a lot of Mormons don't know that aspect, but I don't know what to say about that. I think we should bring out that, you know, when we get this picture of the Mormons coming across the plains, you know, not all of them came by handcart. The number is that probably less than 10% of the Latter-day Saints immigrated that way. But still, in the Willie and Martin handcart expedition, you had hundreds die, not just while on the trail, but then later on as a result of the physical problem.
Upwards of about 250. And people were, like you mentioned earlier on the show, people were maimed for life. Some people had to get their legs amputated once they got here. There's actually a statue at Southern Utah University of a 9-year-old gal that was on the Martin handcart company. Her name was Nellie Purcell. They actually have a statue of her down there with her legs on and her shoes. And the story is that when it snows down in Cedar City, where Southern Utah University is located, the students will go out and brush her feet off. But she got both of her legs amputated below the knee and suffered the rest of her life.
Hmm. It certainly, it was a tragedy. I guess what Brigham Young was probably in his own mind trying to allude to is the fact that they did have some successful handcart companies come through. But still, it was an arduous task for any human being to go through. And the fact that so many suffered even afterwards from the physical problems of that trip is something that we cannot ignore. Thanks, Randy. I appreciate your knowledge on this subject.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic in the state where we live. Oftentimes, we may feel frustrated in understanding what is perceived to be the state religion. If you are a Latter-day Saint who needs some honest answers to your questions, or perhaps you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the predominant religion in this culture, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be your resource on truth. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry founder Bill McKeever has worked hard to equip people to understand the differences between Mormonism and the historic Christian faith. At www.mrm.org, we have an active blog site, dozens of articles and video tools that will educate you in a variety of ways. Or perhaps your church needs to schedule Mormonism Research Ministry to come for a live presentation to equip your church body to be ambassadors for Christ. Let us know what we can do for you. Contact us through our website, again, mrm.org. We're here for you.